From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Live from the NPR studios at Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, this is the Bryant Park Project. News, information, tamper-proof. I'm Allison Stewart.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. It is Wednesday, February 6, 2008. I'm a little tired this morning.
You were up watching the
up watching the returns. I was with a group of friends, and we were all fighting over the remote control because everybody has their preference about which channel they think does a better job of disseminating the information on return night. Some people like kind of the craziness of CNN, all that information on one screen. Other people prefer more mellow networks. So it was interesting. It was interesting.
What else was interesting is, you know, the Associated Press, I typed in, you know, campaign voting problems, and they're reporting, you know, very few problems considering the amount of people who came out to vote yesterday. I was in Staples just buying some printer cartridges, and out of nowhere, the two ladies behind the cashier started talking about how they, when they could get off to go, I gotta go vote, as one said, and then the lady who was buying something said, doesn't it make you feel good to have just something to vote for or someone to vote for? Everywhere I went, somebody was handing me a McCain sticker, somebody was handing me a Hillary sticker, so.
Democracy in action.
There you go.
Democracy in action.
This hour on the Bryant Park Project, of course, we'll talk about all of that, but there's one person who has been in the presidential race who dropped out, who actually may be in a race for the rest of his career. Dennis Kucinich is in a race, a tight race for his Ohio district seat. Is he going to even make it on the March 4th primary?
And indeed, Super Tuesday is over. The results are in and being tallied. But what about today and tomorrow and the next day? Nothing will be as super as it was yesterday. So we had Jill Sobule in the other day to sing us a ditty about all the other days that are not nearly as super as yesterday, Super Tuesday. So we're going to play that segment later on in the show.
We also have a conservative and a liberal blogger who watched all of last night's action. They'll weigh in. Before we do get to them, we want to get you caught up on the day's news, starting with last night's primary results and the official NPR Election 2008 theme music. Hit it. The big headline is there's no one big headline. Because the races were so competitive, Super Tuesday bled into the early hours of Super Wednesday, and in one state, this thing could last until Super Thursday. Here's what happened on the Democrat side. It was close, really close. To quote Dan Rather about another tight race, quote, this election is closer than Lassie and Timmy. New York Senator Hillary Clinton won 8 states, 7 of them big ones. She took California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Arizona, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Addressing her supporters last night, she sounded a familiar theme of her campaign.
We know what we need is someone ready on day one to solve our problems and seize those opportunities. Because when the bright lights are off and the cameras are gone, who can you count on to listen to you, to stand up for you, to deliver solutions for you?
Despite the delegate richness of the state she took, her wins weren't decisive enough to lock up a nomination. Remember, Democrats dole out delegates proportionally, so Clinton would have had to win her states in a landslide to come out as the clear nominee. She still holds a modest lead in pledged delegates. Now, Illinois Senator Barack Obama took 13 contests, including primaries in his home turf of Illinois, as well as Alabama, Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Utah, and Missouri, according to the Associated Press. He won in 6 states where there were caucuses: Alaska, Colorado, Kansas, Idaho, Minnesota, and North Dakota. Here he is as the final results were coming in.
The votes are still being counted in cities and towns across America. But there is one thing, you know I love you back. But there is one thing on this February night that we do not need the final results to know. Our time has come.
Only one state, New Mexico, is too close to call. According to the Associated Press, the candidates are about 100 votes apart, and nearly 17,000 provisional ballots have not yet been counted.
On the Republican side now, unlike the Democratic primaries, Republicans use both proportional and winner-take-all when divvying up their delegates. So that puts Arizona Senator John McCain well in the lead. He won New York, taking all its 101 delegates. He also won California, Illinois, his home state of Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, Connecticut, Delaware, and New Jersey.
I am, as is often reported, a little superstitious, so I don't want to make any exaggerated predictions, and there's still a long road ahead. However, I think it's fair to say that we might have come a little bit closer to today, to the day when mothers in Arizona might be able to tell their children that someday they could grow up to be president of the United States.
Going into Super Tuesday, McCain's main challenger was Mitt Romney, but the former Massachusetts governor trailed McCain by a wide margin. He carried Massachusetts, Utah, North Dakota, Minnesota, Colorado, and Montana. But Romney says he will soldier on. He spoke to supporters in Boston.
You know, Ann came to me and she said, you know, the one thing that's clear tonight is that nothing's clear. But I think she's wrong. One thing that's clear is this campaign's going on. Yeah!
But the biggest surprise of the night, Mike Huckabee. The former Arkansas governor won big in the South, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, and Tennessee. While he trails Romney and McCain in the delegate count, he says he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
So many people said, you can't get there. And tonight we're proving that we're still on our feet, and much to the amazement of many, we're getting there, folks. We're getting there.
You can find all of these results in detail at npr.org. There's an interactive map with a detailed delegate count plus analysis of the races from NPR editors and reporters.
This is NPR.
So there are some of the raw facts to help put it all in perspective. NPR's Robert Smith. Now, he usually just sits over the cubicle wall from us here at the BPP, but today he is in Little Rock, Arkansas, covering the Huckabee campaign. Hey, Robert.
How's it going?
Going forward. So before we get to all the big picture stuff, tell me what the scene was like at Huckabee HQ.
Oh, well, you know, I always get set with people who lose. You know, I was just with Giuliani in Florida. But I have to say, I have never seen a happier bunch of people last night because, you know, Huckabee had sort of bet everything on the South. He traveled through these states down there, Arkansas, obviously, but Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee. And it became clear in the night that basically every state that he had campaigned in, he ended up winning. 5 wins for him. I mean, this isn't anything that's going to make him president, but it was a surprise, and people were just ecstatic. They were over the moon, and you know, people credited, these are religious voters, they credited God, they called it a miracle. They used a lot of religious imagery, and Huckabee himself, you know, likened himself to David fighting Goliath, but you know, finally I get to see some happiness, and I was just champagne flowing, but no, not so much with the alcohol.
Yeah, not so much at the evangelicals. I think there's not a whole bunch of champagne flowing.
It was red punch. The red punch was flowing.
The red punch was fabulous. So explain to our listeners how Mike Huckabee ended up taking West Virginia. It's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, it was a fascinating story, one that gives insight into the dynamics of this race, which was Mitt Romney had put a lot of money into West Virginia, as he has most of the states that have caucuses, because those have a limited number of people you can pull to the polls and really influence. He's been sort of one of the caucus kings. Well, coming into this, on the first vote, it turns out that Mitt Romney has the most votes. But right behind him is Mike Huckabee, and right behind him is John McCain voters. Well, John McCain voters and some Ron Paul, apparently, voters decide to, on the second ballot, throw their support to Mike Huckabee. And lo and behold, like, Mike Huckabee wins West Virginia, which was a really big early win yesterday. And what it showed is that, you know, in the Republican race, it's everyone against Mitt Romney. It seems weird because he's not the front runner, but he's run so many negative ads, he has so much money that basically nobody really likes him in terms of his opponents. So they were willing to give a win to Mike Huckabee, the John McCain people, the Ron Paul people. They were willing to give that win in order to slow Mitt Romney down a little bit.
Now, Robert, are you sticking with the Huckabee campaign?
Well, we have yet to decide. There's not an editor on earth that is awake at this point, except Patricia. But most political editors are still sleeping, deciding where to go. Huckabee himself is going to go to Kansas, to Virginia, and then he's going to focus on Texas. I mean, the problem with Mike Huckabee is that there aren't that many states in the South left that can still vote for him. That's where his strength is. He showed no strength anywhere else in the United States. So Texas is his big and almost final play. I mean, unless he gets some sort of new set of voters in the rest of the United States.
NPR's Robert Smith reporting from Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Robert, thanks for waking up and joining us.
Oh, it was great to be here.
So voters in the United States weren't the only people who went to the polls yesterday. Democrats living outside the U.S. voted as well. They'll send 22 delegates to the convention, but each of them only counts as half a vote. Reporter Vicky Barker has this report from London.
Outside Porchester Hall in London's Bayswater District, Clinton and Obama supporters try to out-chant each other. The line of would-be voters snakes around the building. Inside the ornate Victorian Assembly Hall, voters file onto the stage and push their ballots into a Clinton box, an Obama box, an anonymous box, or one other box labeled Edwards, Biden, Kucinich, Uncommitted. They may be on the other side of the Atlantic, but they're not on Mars. This is a two-horse primary race.
Wait, I got a cheer for Mrs. Furkin. It's my kid's teacher. Mrs. Furkin, yeah!
Tenley Reed, pregnant with her fourth child, jumps up and down with excitement. She's been living in London for 7 years. She's already voted for Barack Obama.
I really think that he's a breath of fresh air, and I think he's going to bring something new to everything. I have to say I'm not a huge Hillary Clinton fan.
Across the hall, the buttons, hat, and logo t-shirt drop a subtle hint about who Matt Schneider's supporting.
Clinton, absolutely.
Why?
She's shown throughout her time in the Senate, throughout her entire career, that she's actually committed to change.
I have to say, I think the Obama supporters have heftier lungs than the Hillary supporters here tonight.
I don't think that's true at all.
They seem to be out-chatting you.
I really don't think so.
If there's an air of excitement here tonight, it's because this Super Tuesday event is kicking off the Democrats' first ever global primary. Democrats in 34 countries will be sending 22 delegates to the Democratic National Convention. Dan Rifkin of Democrats Abroad says membership in the London chapter doubled in the 3 weeks before Super Tuesday as a result.
We feel like we're on the front lines of Bush foreign policy, defending our country, but agreeing with many of the criticisms of our foreign policy. There's 6 million, perhaps, Americans living abroad. That would make us the 13th largest state, so we need to get more of a voice, get ourselves heard back in the States, and be involved.
What are the Republicans doing tonight?
Well, I think they're looking on with envy.
In fact, the Republicans were having a Super Tuesday cocktail party, but the venue wasn't advertised on their website. You had to email them for the details. They never answered mine. For the Bryant Park Project, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
This is NPR.
Our Super Tuesday coverage continues in just a moment, but first, here are some other headlines we're following this morning. Tornadoes ripped through four southern states yesterday, tearing up buildings, killing at least 44 people, and injuring dozens more in Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Kentucky. The twisters ignited a massive fire at a natural gas pumping station northeast of Nashville and ripped the roof off a shopping mall in Atkins, Arkansas. In Little Rock, the party for presidential candidate Mike Huckabee briefly lost power, and several candidates paused to remember the tornado's victims. Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe spoke to a local station, KATV, last night.
We have communities that are in desperate straits, extensive damage, and it's incumbent on all of us to pull together and be of as much help and assistance as we possibly can. There will be several rough days ahead for a number of communities and for a number of families.
Emergency crews will continue to search for survivors and victims today.
Senate Democrats want a criminal investigation into waterboarding. That's because CIA Director Michael Hayden yesterday became the first administration official to publicly acknowledge that the U.S. has used the interrogation tactic on three suspected terrorists. He explained the decision to use waterboarding during his testimony before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence.
We used it against these three high-value detainees because of the circumstances of the time. very critical to those circumstances was the belief that additional catastrophic attacks against the homeland were imminent.
Hayden said the three suspects were waterboarded in 2002 and 2003 before he banned the practice in 2006. But at the same hearing, National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell told senators that waterboarding is still a tool used by the CIA as long as the president and U.S. Attorney General approve it. That prompted the Senate's Assistant Majority Leader, Democrat Dick Durbin, to call on the U.S. Justice Department to open a criminal inquiry into whether past use of waterboarding violated any laws.
Roger Clemens has his story, and he's sticking to it. The legendary pitcher spent 5 hours in a deposition with congressional investigators yesterday when he repeated statements that he'd never used steroids or human growth hormone to enhance his performance. It was the first time Clemens had issued such a denial under oath. After the meeting, he told reporters he's looking forward to next Wednesday, when he'll return to Capitol Hill to testify before the House Oversight Committee. So that's your block of news for this Wednesday morning, February 6, 2008. Do stay with us here at the BPP. Two bloggers from opposite sides of the aisle are in line with their post-primary prognostications.
We are indeed live from NPR studios at Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.